Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
What happens in a situation where a baby is alive, breathing on a table, moving? What do your physicians do at that point?
I do not have that information.
You stated that a baby born on a table is a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that.
That's Elisa Snow. She's a lobbyist representing the Florida Alliance of Planned Parenthood Affiliates, asking the rather pointed questions, answering the rather pointed questions of several Florida legislators. And this has brought a new term into the lexicon. We used to talk about partial birth abortion or regular abortion. The new term is post-birth abortion. She skated around the questions. She refused to provide clear answers as to what Planned Parenthood would support a physician doing if a child is born alive after a botched abortion. We're going to be talking about that story and another, well, now equally notorious story of a federal judge striking down an age limit on emergency contraceptives, so-called Plan B. Wendy Wright will be our guest here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's the 8th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Matt Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Center, will join us. We're going to talk about baptism and courage, and then Tom Baker will be alongside. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do every week with him. Today in John chapter 21, one of those post-resurrection appearances of Jesus and a miraculous catch of fish. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Wendy Wright is a regular guest. She's Vice President of Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, based in Washington, D.C. Wendy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, and I'm so glad you're covering these topics.
The answer that Elisa Snow gave to the Florida legislators when asked the question, what should be done when a child is born alive as the result of a botched abortion, was we believe that any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician. Is that a sufficient answer to that question?
No, and I'm glad that the legislators asked her again, even though she gave the same answer again, because it showed the legislators get it. They, as they pointed out, there is another patient, that's the baby. And according to federal law, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, signed into law in the early part of President Bush's administration, states that a baby that is born alive, even those, especially those that survive an abortion, are human beings. They're persons, and they must be treated as such. And so the fact that this Planned Parenthood representative, who apparently knows enough about the law that she's the one who's sent to testify in front of the Florida legislature, that she either apparently doesn't know that this is federal law or that Planned Parenthood simply doesn't care and flaunts the federal law on a regular basis. I'm glad they see that these states are picking up this issue, because even though there is a federal law that states that a baby born alive is a baby, there frankly isn't a way for the federal government to provide teeth to enforce that law. And that's why it's necessary for states to pass their own laws so that they can be enforced. And clearly, once this law is passed in Florida, they know where to start looking at the local Planned Parenthood in Florida.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that in spite of repeated questions that the legislators put to her about that decision that is made, they didn't really ask who makes the decision. They asked what decision will be made, what decision is being made in Planned Parenthood facilities where abortions are being performed. In spite of that, what are the facts? What does actually happen, as far as we can tell, when a baby is born alive as a result of a botched abortion?
Well, Planned Parenthood was caught on tape just last year, one of the Planned Parenthoods in New Jersey, in which a Planned Parenthood counselor tells a student that it does happen, that is, that a baby is born alive after an abortion, but it wouldn't be able to survive on its own, so eventually the baby does die. That's a quote from the Planned Parenthood representative. So apparently this does happen. In fact, we have statistics that about 1,270 times a year, babies survive abortions and then are left to die. That's 1,270 that are left to die. So it does happen, and it's clearly the responsibility of the medical professionals to care for that patient, to care for that baby. Now, Planned Parenthood came out after this firestorm erupted over this Florida representative of Planned Parenthood saying that she can't say what they would do regarding this baby. So the National Planned Parenthood came out and said that they would provide appropriate care to both woman and the infant. Now, the problem still remains, and the question remains, what do they mean by appropriate care? Because apparently what they consider appropriate care when a baby survives an abortion is to leave that baby to die.
The other objection, kind of objection, that was raised by the lobbyist for Planned Parenthood there in Florida was, well, I'm not really sure how often this really even happens. You said this must happen. Well, the number you gave there would seem to me in proportion to the number of abortions that are actually successful where the baby dies, very small, but over 1,000 children, it's nothing to sneeze at every year.
And it doesn't matter if it's one. It doesn't matter the number. I think she did a kind of a bait and switch and got people focusing on the number. The reality is that she implied that, in fact, it does happen. Even if it may only happen a handful of times, in her mind, it happens. And so what is the protocol? And apparently Planned Parenthood's protocol is to ignore the baby. In their statement, in her statement that she gave, she didn't even recognize that there is a second patient, that there is a baby that deserves care.
All right. Is the term post-birth abortion accurate in these cases?
Well, yes, and in fact, even the advocates for abortion have come up for another term, after birth. You may recall that there was a medical journal article, and it was in the Journal of Medical Ethics just last year, titled, After Birth Abortion, Why Should the Baby Live? And these two so-called ethicists made the case that, quote, the moral status of the individual killed, that would be after the abortion, after the baby's born alive, is comparable to a fetus rather than that of a child. So what they say is that a baby that is born alive after an abortion is still a fetus and therefore has no rights, should not be treated with dignity or worth, and should be, and this isn't my word, it's their word, killed.
I'm deeply disturbed by the fact that the conclusion that is put forth by Planned Parenthood is that the child who survives an abortion can't survive on its own. It seems as though they are playing another very clever trick there and kind of pushing their viability trump card that we used to hear so much about outside the womb.
Right, and the reality is no child born can survive on their own. They need nutrition. They need care. They need warmth. They need basically what you and I need to survive. None of us can survive on our own. And so, yeah, again, we need to discern what it is Planned Parenthood is saying, not just take it as face value and put our own values into what they're saying. If you look at their practices, then you can understand what they're saying. And according to their practices, the baby should be ignored. The baby shouldn't be left alone so that the baby will die.
You said early in our conversation, Wendy, that it is very important that states put laws into place with regard to this situation, not just that a federal law exists that would outlaw a baby being killed after an unsuccessful abortion. Why is that?
Well, we learned this lesson. I worked closely with Jill Stanek, and she's the nurse out of Illinois who blew the whistle on what we called live birth abortions, that is, babies who were being neglected after they were born alive from an abortion. And we worked with her to get this federal law passed. And then after it was passed, we got reports in Florida, New Jersey, and other places of actual cases after the federal law was passed of babies being born alive and then left to die or deliberately killed. And we went to the Department of Justice and provided them the evidence and the information. And I will say that some of the good people within the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Justice tried to bring a case, tried to investigate. The problem is, federalism. This isn't in the realm of the federal government. It falls within the realm of the state government. Murder, manslaughter falls in the realm of the state government. And that's why it's important for the states to step up to the plate and pass their own laws. And here's the other thing we've learned is incredibly important. Enforce the laws. What happened in Philadelphia with the Kermit Gosnell, who was also doing these post-birth abortions and is now, right now, on trial, there were some good laws on the books in Pennsylvania. They just weren't being enforced. And so we need to hold our government officials accountable, not only the politicians to get them to pass the laws, but then the attorney generals, the district attorneys, the prosecutors, and others, making sure that they're enforcing the laws that have been passed.
Wendy Wright is our guest. We'll have her for a few minutes on the other side of the break. Changing subjects to a federal judge that has struck down the age limit on emergency contraception, so-called Plan B. We'll get her thoughts on that. She's Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, based in Washington, D.C. A little bit later, Pastor Matt Harrison will join us. We'll be talking about baptism and courage. And then Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. We'll spend some time with him teaching a Sunday school lesson on one of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, The Great Catch of Fish. We'll be right back. More with Wendy Wright.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden,
Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wendy Wright is our guest on this Monday afternoon, the 8th of April. Wendy, I wanted your reaction to another story that's obviously big, and this is from the New York Times. A federal judge on Friday ordered that the most common morning after pill be made available over the counter for all ages. We're not just talking about women anymore or young women. We're talking about all ages of the female gender. Tell us a story. What's happened here?
Well, Plan B, or the morning after pill, is a high dose of the birth control pill. Now, the birth control pill requires a prescription, and for very good reason. It's very important for a woman to go through counseling before she gets a birth control pill and while she's on it, to be tested for sexually transmitted diseases, some of which are symptomless. So there's no way she's going to know that she's got an STD unless she's tested. And if it's a minor girl who is seeking the morning after pill, that's an indication that she is sexually active. And if she is under a certain age, it's very likely she's being statutorily raped. There's abuse going on. And so it in that case, especially, it's important that there be some kind of oversight to ensure that this girl can be rescued from abuse. Well, Judge Edward Corman has just made it more likely that young girls are going to be sexually abused by making this drug easy to get, by making it available on drugstore counters. Anyone can buy it. So you could have a 40-year-old man who's raping a 12-year-old girl. He can go in and buy this drug in order to try and cover up his crime and continue the abuse against that girl. And there really have not been testing done to find out what happens if a woman or a girl whose body is still developing takes this drug multiple times, which she's going to be very likely to do because it's easier to get than it is to get birth control pills.
But this is a kind of a perennial problem with all of the so-called abortion pills or emergency contraceptive pills. All of them are tested, as far as I know, on an adult female population to some degree before they're approved by the FDA. I can't imagine that they would have been testing them on girls.
And they are a select group of women. They're women who don't have illnesses or medical problems. And so once the drug is released on the general public, then women are using it who would not have been included in the studies. And with minor girls, gosh, I think anyone who's been around a teenage girl knows that they're going through high fluctuations in hormones. We don't know what will happen to girls like that who take this high dose of hormones, especially if they take them multiple times. It really is setting up these girls to be abused not only by sexual predators, but also abused by the those who want to encourage her to be sexually active. And I would include in that groups like Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood profits from girls being sexually active because then they come in to get STD testing or to come in to get an abortion. And so they profit when more girls are encouraged to be sexually active.
Wendy Wright is Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to CFAM at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wendy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.